Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Couch Conversations by Hummingbird Journeys. I am your host, Kareem Lee, and as always, it's my absolute pleasure to be able to connect with you. We are still very much in our Keys of the Kingdom series, where we're looking at those treasures which God has entrusted to us to enable us to live this life victoriously. Yes, we are looking at the treasures that are available to us to be able to live victorious Christian lives as the godly women that we are. Now, we started off speaking about the power of our confessions. We spoke a bit about what it means to be a woman of faith. And now today we're back to speak about what it means to be a woman of the word and how important it is to be able to apply the word of God to our everyday life to successfully navigate this life. Our guest is no stranger to us. It's my absolute pleasure this week to welcome back Sister Sam to speak to us about what it means to be a woman of the word.
Welcome back to the couch, Sam. You are no stranger to us.
Yes.
And it's certainly a blessing to have you back for this next episode of Couch Conversations. Last time you were with us, Sam, you spoke about what it means to be a woman of faith. This time around, we're speaking about what it means to be a woman of the word. Mm. In our last conversation, you got us intrigued about the word of God. You got us intrigued about being a woman of the word because you said, in summary, that you cannot be a woman of faith without spending time in the word, without being a woman of the word. And so today we want to build on that discussion. We want to hear a bit more about what you have to say about being a woman of the word.
Okay.
Is that okay? Okay, that's okay. So this woman of the word, who is she? What does she look like? What does she sound like? Who is a woman of the word?
What does she look like, sound like? She looks like an everyday person, you and I. I don't think being a woman of the world, you look different, sound different. You can be from a village in Kenya, from a tribe in, you know, South America. The word of God, interesting topic. Being a woman of the word, she's just like you and I. You and I, every day, with her own struggles, her own beliefs, you know, possibly has a job or being full-time mom. Full-time caterer to her parents or her husband or something, but also has a lot of responsibilities. But she still decides or spends time with the Word of God.
That's what makes her different.
That's what makes her different.
Spending time in the Word.
Spending time in the Word. And again, I'll say this again, spending time in the Word doesn't mean that you lock yourself up, you don't socialize, you don't do anything, you just sit there and all you do is, you know, read the scripture. If you read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation without any revelation from the Holy Spirit, again, it will be just a book. Spending time is being conscious of the time you spend with God, wanting to know more about Him, wanting to experience more about this being. And don't forget, the Bible has been written many, 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 many years before our existence. So these are things that sometimes we cannot relate to. The Word of God sometimes seems like something in the air, which is not relatable, which is why a woman of the Word is not trying to be an intelligent person. She's not assuming the responsibility of being intelligent. She's just open. Her spirit is open. And so accepting whatever it is she reads is easier when her spirit is open as opposed to, you know, a closed mind and a closed spirit. I tell myself, if you look at the way things of God with a mind or with, you know, intelligence, you would miss it in so many places. I mean, for instance, you know, I once somebody once asked me when I was telling him about, you know, giving his life to Christ, he said, okay, in the book of, you know, in the Old Testament, Cain and Abel, the Bible says they were the seed of Adam and Eve, right?
Yes.
So how then did they reproduce? How did the world multiply after Cain and Abel? Did they sleep with their mom? How did they reproduce? Now, these are questions you and I cannot answer. We have no answer to it. But it's just knowing that even the Bible says that the word of God, there's so many things that are not written here that if they were written, there will be no space for it. So the things that are written are only the things that are beneficial to us, that mm-hmm. will be an example to us, that we'll learn from, it will serve as a deterrent to us, or, you know, that will bless us, impact us in many ways. And so the word of God is complete as it is today. Anything that is not here, it means it's irrelevant. It is complete as it is today, because it's the very word that is what God said. It is his word that is his person. You know, the Bible says that, you know, instead of his word to go back to him void, let heaven and earth pass away. That is how much God, even God, relies on his word. He relies on the things that he says. He says, it will not come back to me void. It will accomplish that thing that I've sent it out to do. So the woman of the word essentially just wants to spend time knowing who this God is, understanding who this God is, taking authority that God has given to her. You cannot take power and authority if you don't even know what power you have. In order to be a woman who exercises power, you must first know where the power is coming from. If you go, you know, in your own power, in your own stead, and you go on and confront the enemy, he will flog you. Silly. And you would have no rights to stand in front of the enemy. Because without Jesus being in our lives, or the Holy Spirit and putting a sword in our hand, we actually are no match for the devil.
So I'm hearing from you, a woman of the word is also a woman of power. She's a woman of strength.
Yes.
She's a woman of wisdom, but none of this is in her own self.
No.
It is based on the word of God in her.
Yes.
And God himself coming alive and active on account of this word that's being in her.
Yes.
All right.
She derives power and strength from the word of God.
Awesome. I like the fact that you touched on time. And the fact that being a woman of the word doesn't mean that you're spending the entire day digging through the Bible. And the reality is that as modern women, and I say modern because, of course, when we read the Bible, we read of those who lived, quote unquote, in the temple. Mm-hmm. All of their time was spent there. But for us today, there's so much else that we have to attend to. Life itself is demanding. So how do we become women of the word? I know you've already said, okay, it's not that you're spending time in the word or the entire day in the Bible, but how do we practically, for someone who is listening and saying, okay, yes, I hear you say that this woman of the word is a woman of wisdom, is power. I want that. Practically, what can she do?
Make out some time. If a woman, a career woman, is so busy and she gets headhunted by, I don't know, J.P. Morgan, and they say your interview is in a week or 2 weeks, she will make up time to go and research on J.P. Morgan. She will make up time to, you know, put her CV together, put her thoughts together, gather her mind. She will make up time to know exactly this role that they're calling her for, what it entails, correct?
Correct.
So if you can make up time for this things of the world, you can make 10 minutes out of your time to spend with God.
So it's a conscious decision.
It's a conscious decision because at the end of the day, everybody's busy. Even if you're a full-time mom, you're busy. Even if you're a CEO, career person, you're busy. There's always a distraction. For me, again, I would say it's Netflix. There's always a distraction. It's now making a conscious effort and saying, you know what? I want to spend time with my daddy. I want to know some things. I want to, you know, empower myself. And then what, 20 minutes I take? Study one passage, one verse, one, whether you want a line, a sentence, and put that line or sentence in your heart. Study it so much so that it becomes part of who you are. If you wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I will still tell you my name is Samantha. Mm-hmm. it is what it is. If you wake me up at 2 or 4, it doesn't matter where I am. If I go to Spain where nobody speaks English, or a country where nobody understands my language, my name is still going to be Samantha. So if you want to know something, you just spend time getting to know it. It's now a decision thing. It's a conscious effort decision, which is why fellowshipping with your sisters or your sisters in the Lord or your brethren or your friends are also important, because you see, sometimes your flesh is weak, but your spirit is willing. So you go to a fellowship, somebody's teaching, and you're learning something from it. You're still studying the Word. Studying the Word doesn't mean you have to do it by yourself. Yes, there's a place for yourself, but there's also a place in learning from other people.
I want to ask a question, because you mentioned on the last podcast, the last conversation that we had, you mentioned briefly life and death being in the power of the tongue, and the fact that we need to speak to our situations. Just now, you mentioned that God has given us a sword, which we know as believers is the Word.
Is the Word of God.
Okay. So how does, I mean, you said to me that a woman of the Word looks like any other woman. How does the woman of the Word sound? And I want you to tell us, speak to us about using the sword, using the Word practically in everyday life. So I've taken all of this Word in. What do I do with it? How do I use it?
So, you know, the Bible says the Word of God is a two-edged sword. In one part, it blesses you. It lifts you up. On another part, it strikes when it needs to fight. So the Word that you put in your heart, you use it by either using it to bless you, bless those around you, bless your children. There's life and death in your mouth. So it is what you say out, the universe picks up and runs with it. So you use that same word and use it to bless you. The Bible says you will be the head and not the tail. You will be a success and not a failure. The sun shall not smite you by the day, nor the moon by the night. It's like the Word of God, right? You put it in your heart. And now you're speaking it to yourself in circumstances, everyday life. You know, you're everywhere. You're like, you know, this is what God has said concerning me, that he that abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You're speaking those words. And then on the days where you need to attack because somebody's trying to get in your way, the enemy is coming to you for you. You know, you can see something is wrong. So you need to attack. The Word of God also stands as a sword. So it stands two-edged. It blesses you, and then it also strikes when it needs to. So the woman of the Word, essentially, will understand this. Will understand that this word that I speak is life to me. And the time I need it to fight for me, it will fight.
Powerful.
And so she needs this word first to be in her heart. Then she must use it as, confess it, to use it either way. She can either bless or curse with it.
She can either bless.
Or curse with it. And so, you know, I've seen situations where mothers, talking to the children, and maybe the children are running everywhere, they're driving them nuts. I understand. And then they open their mouth and say, you would never amount to anything. You're so stupid. You'd always be stupid. Without realizing that, and they say it over and over again, without realizing that they speak in words and sowing seed into that child. And then the child grows up to become a nuisance to society. And then they wonder why. Whereas you see a woman who, even though she sees her son doing wrong things, she scolds him, but she says, you'll be blessed. You will serve God, not Baal. You will be the head and not the tail. You will lead generations. You will fight the enemy. You will be in God's army. You will not serve the devil. And you see that life, that child's life changes or turns around. The child grows up to become a person of influence. And then you wonder why. Both women are believers. Then why is it that one child turned out different and the other turns out okay? Of course, there are other circumstances that could affect this, but essentially that is the underlying factor, the Word of God. You know, my mom, bless her heart, for the longest time, for I remember, my mom would always speak God's Word to me for the longest time. And even the days that I was an unbeliever, where I was everywhere, I mean, I partied hard. Those words resonated in my heart. It was spoken by her to my life. It didn't matter what kind of club I was in, what kind of things I was getting up to, the Word of God that was sown germinated in my life. Because that's what God says. The Word is the power, it has death and life. You decide what you want to do with it. So essentially, a woman of the word first chews on this word. She swallows it and puts it in her bosom. And then she's able to use it in her full capacity as she pleases.
So I'm hearing also from you that a woman of the word needs to be careful
with
her tongue. She needs to guard.
Oh, for sure.
I believe it's Proverbs 31 that says she opens her mouth in wisdom. And so what comes out has to be appropriate for the situation that it's being used
for.
She recognizes the power of her words.
Exactly.
And she's cautious with how she uses her words.
Exactly. And just as you said that, I remember the scripture is James chapter 3 that talks about how to bridle your tongue. You know, how to, and you see the Bible is so complete because this scripture, chapter 3, verse 3, talks about how the horse, you know, is stirred by the, you know, that thing, what's it called? The bits you put in the mouth of the horse, that stirs the horse in the direction in which the horse should go. Mm-hmm. And then he also talks about, look at ships, how they're so loud. They're so big, but yet you see a small, they're turned by a small rudder, whatever the pilot desires. It's just that small round thing in the ship is what sort of steers the ship left or right. And the Bible says, even so, your tongue is a little member, but boasts great things. This is in James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, your tongue is the little member of your body, but it boasts great things.
And I suppose that's why it's so important, as you said, to spend time to digest this word so that when I do open my mouth to speak, it is the word of God that is coming out. It is that which has been washed in the word that is coming out so that I don't do damage to myself, to those around me, but what's coming out is pure.
Correct.
It's life-giving.
Correct. Because if your speech is not blessing somebody else, you have no reason to say it. No reason to
except
say it.
Except if we're in a battle and the enemy is presenting himself.
Of course. The enemy, you don't need to bless him.
Right.
You don't need to bless him. That is a war front. Then you tell him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fight by the word of God. You know, some people sleep with their Bible under their pillow. That is just a waste of time.
What do you mean it's a waste of time?
It is a waste of time.
Why?
They sleep with it under the pillow as a form of protection. Like God's word is here, so it protects me. No, the protection is when the word is actually inside of you. So when the enemy wakes you up in the middle of the night, you're like, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Bible says, you said you should, if you rebuke the enemy, he will flee. That is where the word of God is. Not because I sleep with it on my bed. Yes, I sleep with it next to my bed for convenience. If I wake up and I remember something or God has told me something, I mark it down because if I'm fully awake, I won't remember anymore. But not because I'm looking onto this Bible on top of my pillow. Oh, so God is protecting me. No, the enemy cannot stand in front of you and you wave the Bible. That's not what... You can't wave it at the enemy. He will take it from you and throw it back at your face. But the word is where it's so inside of you that when you see the enemy, you're like, nah, you can't come here, mate. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you.
Even as you say that, I'm remembering the encounter that Jesus had with the devil after he had fasted. And of course, he's weak, he's hungry, and the devil approaches him. And Jesus himself, as opposed to getting into a debate with the enemy, all he does is he gives him the word. With everything that he throws at him, he gives him the word. And I feel as if we miss out as women because, and again, we're going to speak real here. I think sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we get emotional. We begin to battle it out based on our intelligence. Going back to, you know, something that you mentioned earlier, we try to battle it out on our intelligence or the strategy that we have developed as opposed to using the word to fight for us. And then we find ourselves in a corner when all we need to do is to use the weapons, use the tools weapon that have already been given to us.
Yeah. Use the weapon, use the tools. And you cannot fight and use a weapon that you don't know. So first, you must first know it. You must first be equipped because the devil will slap you if you try and fight him without equipping yourself. So you must first be equipped. And so a lot of times, like myself, what the enemy tries to do is first separate me from God. And so I lose that connection with the word. I'm distracted by many things. And I find myself, you know, doing things that I don't really want to do. And I'm like, oh, Father, forgive me. And of course, sin comes in. So many things that you find yourself doing, and then you feel that you are unworthy. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to feel that you're unworthy, that God doesn't really love you, and that you've sinned so much. And yes, you're a believer, but you're still practicing a few things that, you know, God is not happy with. And so he starts to say all these things in your head. And as a woman, you're like, yeah, it's true. Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe, you know, I've been watching things I shouldn't be watching, or, you know, things. Those are real life problems. And then the enemy uses that as to sort of separate you. So then you find yourself not even wanting to know what the word says. And that way he's able to keep slapping you as much as he can. But then when you come back to yourself and you're like, hold on a second, Satan, get thee behind me. Sin, get thee behind me. I have power over you. I have authority over you. I will use my authority. Sometimes I'm praying and I tell myself, I choose to use, this is actually what I say out loud, I choose to use the authority that God has given to me. And he has told me in the book of Luke that I trample over serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. At that point, I'm either being separated and then I'm looking for a way to connect back. So I'm like, no, Satan, you can't connect, you can't disconnect me. The Bible says nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And so you must first connect yourself to God, regardless of what you do or how your life plays out. Yes, you can go into one thing or the other, which you don't want to do, but God is a forgiving Father. And so all you need to do is go back, repent, and then you still have the same power. The fact that you sin don't mean that the word of God automatically goes away from you. It's in your heart, it's in your spirit, it is there. It can be in your spirit and you don't know how to use it. It does nothing for you. But if it's in your spirit and you use it to your advantage, that is where the word of God comes alive.
Sam, we live in a time when there are a lot of experts. There's a lot of charisma that goes on show, even in our Christian circles. And what we're finding is there are certain topics which we're finding that there are new interpretations that you'll have renowned ministers, men and women of God, who will say, yes, the word says this, but perhaps this is not what God meant, or perhaps this is the application to today's situation. What is your take on that?
God is not asking me to be perhaps or thinking. His word is his word. Don't explain to me how you feel about it. His word is his word. Don't tell me, this is how I feel. This is my view. God's word is God's word. It is red and black. It is what he has said. Don't try and give me your interpretation, your application, how you feel, how the thing bothered you. Some of the things that I've read in the word, it didn't sit well with me. I was like, oh, but Father, well, you're still merciful. You should have been. But it doesn't take away the fact that it's still God's word.
So we don't modernize it?
No. I'm not interested in your opinion. If I wanted your opinion, I won't read the word. I'll come to you. No, a lot of us are like, but in my opinion, I'm like, who asked you for your opinion? I didn't ask you for your opinion. This is how I interpret it. No, what did Sarah marry Abraham? Yes or no? Simple. Did Joseph get sold by his brothers? Yes or no? Don't tell me, but maybe, I don't think, perhaps Joseph was meant to be. What did God say?
So a woman of the word is confident that what the word says is yea and amen.
The truth is, equip yourself with the truth. It will always be the truth to you. So many, even the Bible says, beware of these false people. They will come and tell you all sorts of things. There's a pastor now that I heard of who is telling his congregation to write 666 in their palm, to tattoo it, because the way to go now, the word is what is the word is. If you don't understand
I'm hearing even from this discussion that she, the woman of the word, has to take responsibility for her knowing the truth of the word.
Work out your own salvation. The same way you will stand on last day, that minister that told you his own opinion, her opinion, will stand also. Nobody's going to have it easy and say, oh, because you preach, I will leave you. No. Work out your own salvation, which is why I say, know God for yourself. So that in the event that you meet somebody who is telling you rubbish, you're like, this is not God. You stop going there. You don't have to be a sister, but some people, You see, we are lazy in this generation. So we want somebody to read the word for us, interpret it, and apply it to our lives, and then we don't have to do anything.
So I just listen to what you say, and I adopt that, and I run with it.
Rather than go home and say, what did God say? What did God say? We are too lazy to find out. So we are looking for who will interpret it and give us in a book. Yeah, it's good to read. I read books. Or give us in a sermon, and then that's it. You don't know anything else. Ask them what God actually said about it. You don't know, but they'll say the pastor said. I'm like, the pastor just a messenger. Why don't you go to the actual source? And so a lot of us miss it because we're just too lazy, really.
Can I be a woman of the word by just studying the word? Or do I need to balance that with prayer?
Of course. You need to balance it with prayer. You see, God is never silent on anything. And sometimes people think prayer is when you're in the room. Hey, Father. But no, a lot of times you're just studying the word and it just says, and then I meant this. Then this happened. This is God talking to you. That is prayer. You're communicating with God. Sometimes I'm studying the word. I'm like, Father, what really happened here? I don't understand. What happened? What do you mean? And then my spirit starts to speak. And then I can hear. Because essentially the Holy Spirit is talking through your spirit. Sometimes it's audible. Most times it's talking through your spirit. So I start to hear. Sometimes I don't even hear anything. But I go to bed and say, Father, just tell me. Holy Spirit, tell me. And in my sleep, it becomes clear. I wake up, I'm like, Sometimes it doesn't straight away. I just keep going back to them. Like, what do you mean? Which is why I said, if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation without interpretation of the Holy Spirit, it will just be a book to you. It will never truly come alive. And you need it to come alive.
And it's interesting that you touch on that, because a lot of the times we tend to say we want to hear God. We want to hear from God. There's a situation that we're faced with and we say, okay, I want to hear God. I want to hear what God is saying. But what I'm hearing you say and what is written in the word is that he and his word are one.
He and his word are one.
God speaks through his word.
Yes, he and his word are one. If you want to hear God, my response to you will be open your heart, open your spirit. Stop trying to analyze it. Sometimes God doesn't need your brain. Just open your spirit. Mm-hmm. Open it. He will speak. I've never heard one day and I said God was silent. Never.
Mm-hmm.
He may not say the things I want to hear, but he will surely speak.
Yeah.
He will surely speak. Again, being a woman of God, a woman of the word, it's just even knowing what the word says. And when I say knowing, I'm not saying, yeah, I know a few people who, I mean, they can quote the book of Genesis to Revelation to tell you in 1 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says this.
That's who was whose son, yeah, and who begat who.
That's not important, because they know it in their head. They know it in their mind. You don't want to know it in your mind. You want to know it in your spirit.
Wow.
That's where you need to know it.
Wow.
Not the people who are quoting and know and saying, yeah, those things are good.
Mm.
But that's not what makes you a woman of the word.
Mm.
It's knowing it in your spirit. When you know, you know.
Mm.
That this is what God said concerning this matter. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. This is what God said concerning this matter. I don't need to go into an argument with you. This is what God said concerning this matter. It's okay to feel how you feel.
Is it easy to be a woman of the word?
No, and I say this, but it's also at the same time very easy. If only we just let ourselves. You know, sometimes I ask God, why did you give us such a brain? You have just made us, just made us to be one of those, like a robot. Because in growing man's or a woman's intelligence growing, it makes it hard for us to believe God. At this point, mankind has started to compete with God in intelligence.
But I think I need to challenge you there, Sam, because when I contrast other religions, and you speak of the robotic mode of operation, in some religions, it's almost at that place.
Mm-hmm.
It is, okay, you've got this outline, mm-hmm. XYZ, mm-hmm. You do this, XYZ, you do it mm-hmm. this way, mm-hmm. XYZ, and persons have aligned themselves, intelligent persons,
mm-hmm.
have aligned themselves to this robotic way of mm-hmm. operating
mm-hmm.
in the name of religion.
Look at where free will has gotten you and I. It's free will that we exercise today, it decided that I can wake up today and not study the word. It's not going to happen. nothing's going to happen. I can decide that I don't go to church for 2 years. Nothing's going to happen. It's the free will that we have that we exercise. We're being spoiled. We're not, you see, because it's to our detriment, because we will perish. The Bible says people perish for lack of knowledge. We will perish in our stupidity thinking we're intelligent. Which is why I said, maybe sometimes, I know God has created us like this so that we can be at the same par with him. He's given us kind of intelligence so that we can also be in the same level with him. If he wanted robots, he would have gotten the angels to do it, because the angels are essentially messengers to God and messengers to us. He created the angels just so they can do. They don't ask God why, where, who. Just says go, they go. But he gave us this mind so that we can be in the same conversation with him. We can say, but Father, what do you think I should call this animal? Lion? He says, yes, I've given you authority, Adam, call him lion. But Father, should I call this a whale? Yes, I've given you authority, call him a whale. You're the one that would name the animals, Adam. God wanted us to be on the same level as him. He wanted us to have a conversation, which is why I said, let us make man in our own image. So that we have somebody that is like us, that, you know, just talking, conversing, in the Garden of Eden. That was the whole plan. Which is why when Eve went and ate the forbidden fruit, he sent the archangels to protect the other tree. He says, lest man becomes immortal if they eat that. Let me go and cover it. Lest they become immortal. And today, what is happening? All the science labs, people are trying to find a way to become immortal, for goodness sake. Sometimes the free will is not our own good. So a woman of the word, she has free will. She can study if she wants. She can read. There are now audio Bibles. There are ways to study. Like I said, it's not just, I just don't read the Bible. I read books. I listen to messages. I do. My point is, you must want to know. Otherwise, without this knowledge, you will perish. And as a woman, there's a bit more bestowed on us, because we're the keeper of households, the keeper of the universe. If you take away all the women today, this world, if it perishes, it is, there'll be no reproduction. So the women actually have more to do, more responsibility.
So it's not just about, and I'm hearing you say that, it's not just about, okay, yes, I'm reading this word, and this is something that even from the episode before you touched on, it's not just about reading the word and knowing what it says, but a woman of the word goes deeper. It's connecting with her Father. It's connecting with God. It's connecting with her Maker.
Yes.
It's knowing him intimately through yes. his word,
yes.
knowing his heart,
yes.
knowing what he wants from yes. her, so that she's daily
yes.
living that out.
Yes. Essentially, who's your daddy? What's mm-hmm. your daddy doing? What are you? Why are you here? What does your daddy need you to do? Mm. So many things that God wants us to do. I feel like I'm not even exercising one quarter of the thing that God has called me to do. Because again, I'm distracted by work, Netflix, life, children, husband, there's so many things. Mm. And that's what the everyday woman has to deal with. But again, it's just a conscious decision. And you find that, interestingly, once a woman is faced with a problem in her household, that time will come. She will be on her knees praying every day. But why sometimes do we have to wait till when the trouble knocks on the door before we realize all of a sudden that, oh my gosh, we should be praying midnight prayer, night vigils. So a lot of times it's beneficial to actually start the prayer even before the thing happens. That way you have seen it, you have stopped it even before it comes to you. So a woman of the word wants to know the word, wants to live in the word, wants to exercise her faith in the word, wants to profess it with her mouth.
Wants to see it come alive in her life.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Sam.
No worries.
What would be one closing note that you would leave with the audience concerning the importance of being this woman that we have been describing, that we've been speaking about?
Truth is, Jesus is coming. And I know many people have said it before, and the people of the old sang it and said it, and I mean, many people have been preaching this. But the truth is, in our very eyes, we're seeing the reality of all the things that, you know, Daniel prophesied, the people of the old prophesied. We're seeing it in our generation. And so his coming is now more imminent as opposed to in the days of the old. What would be the one thing when Jesus does come and he would ask you, my daughter, my child, what did you do with the time I gave you? How did you use this time? How did you impact your household, your community, people around you, Where people, do people in your office even know you're a Christian? Do people in the supermarket even know you're a Christian? Do your neighbors even know you're a Christian? Are you, as a woman of the word, actually blessing? Or are you going around the streets cursing people, shouting at the bus stop, abusing your friends, backbiting? What are you doing with this time that I gave you? How are you using it to benefit others as a woman? Some women are using their own mouth to bring down their household. Some children are suffering from the curse that the woman of the placed on them, being their mother or grandmother. As a woman of the word, you must learn to bridle your tongue. You see, women, we fall into that category. We talk a bit too much sometimes. Understand that there's a purpose for you. There's a reason why God made you a woman. He's not stupid. It wasn't just by accident. He said, you know, I think the men are too much now. And I just make myself more women. No, there is a purpose for you here. A reason why you are where you are and who you are. If you don't like something about yourself, change it. Use the power of the tongue that you have to change it. Not easy, yes. I've been there. But I decided that as for me and my household, we will serve God. And I decided that as for me, myself, I will serve God. Some days I'm distracted, yes. But the intention is I must serve God. And so as a woman, it's very important to know who you are, where you stand, who your father is. Knowing fully well that the one thing the enemy wants to do is to destroy units of family. Because you take away the wife, take away the husband, take away the mother, father, the children will suffer bitterly. And that's the enemy's plan. It's all strategy. It's all a strategy. And so as a woman, be patient, perseverance. So many things you have to exercise. Learn how to pray. Learn how to trust God, how to believe, how to stand on the word. And speak, most importantly, the very word that you believe in. Mm-hmm. Most importantly, speak the very thing you believe in. You can't tell me you believe in God's word and you say something else. No, the two must go hand in hand. You must first believe, then you must speak it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Sam. As always, it's been a pleasure sitting with you, a pleasure speaking with you.
Bless God.
And hearing your heart. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
As you have been a blessing to me and to our audience.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you very much for listening. Couch Conversations by Hummingbird Journeys is a fortnightly podcast where real women sit down to discuss real issues heart to heart. We trust that you've been blessed by today's episode. Please feel free to share with other women you feel could also be blessed. If you'd like to have more information about Hummingbird Journeys and what we do, feel free to visit us at hummingbirdjourneys.com or connect with us on our social pages, Instagram and Facebook at Hummingbird Journeys. We would love to hear from you and to receive your feedback, your comments, and also suggestions for topics that you would personally like to have covered in our future episodes. God bless you.